I now can sing since I've been redeemed.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
I faith in Christ, my Redeemer King.
I'm on the everlasting rock.
This is the voice of hope.
Then roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock of ages. Roll, roll, billows roll. I'm on the everlasting rock.
Thank you, men, for the affirmation we have as we stand securely on the everlasting rock. And thank you, my friend, for joining me for this edition of The Voice of Hope. I'm your host, J. Mark Horst, and it's my privilege to share with you the teaching of God's Word. But you know, it's also an awesome responsibility, and so I covet your prayers. Today on The Voice of Hope, we continue our study of biblical womanhood with a study titled Women as Helpers. But before we look into God's Word, here's the a cappella harmony quartet with their song, simply titled Invocation.
For those whose eyes would see, render them in faith to Thee. Strife shall cease, and place in me the agony you bear. Nothing can impair the perfect love I bring in a sin. Nothing can impair the perfect love I bring in a simple offering.
In a simple offering.
In Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26 to 30, we have the outline of the initial creation of mankind. And verse 27 reads like this: So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. In our study of biblical womanhood, which we began last week, it's important for us to understand and embrace the fact that women are created in the image of God just as much as men are created in his image. The blessing and the command that God gave to mankind to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion was to be accomplished not by man alone, but by man and woman working together. God designed male and female so that neither one could accomplish that task on their own. In order to fulfill God's plan, they needed to work together. In the perfect environment in which they were created, that wasn't a problem, because Adam was perfectly satisfied with the wife that God had provided for him, and he embraced her as being a part of himself. Eve, too, was perfectly matched to Adam to assist him in the work that they were both commanded to do. Their union was designed to illustrate the loving relationship enjoyed by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So when God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone," he saw Adam's need on every level, spiritual, emotional, and physical. Eve was designed by God to complement Adam on each of these levels. Remember, she was designed as a suitable or comparable helper. However, she was not the same as Adam. If God would have wanted sameness, he could have just created another man. Today, feminist ideology has attempted to make men and women equal by saying that they are the same. You know, that can never be done because of God's creation design for both men and women. In each of the sexes, there are obvious, God-designed, unchangeable differences. And keep in mind, those differences were not a result of sin entering the world. They were part of God's original creation plan. These differences are our focus this time as we look into the Word of God. What are those God-designed differences, and how do they uniquely qualify women for the role God has given to them? To answer these questions, we return to the opening chapters of the book of Genesis to look at God's original intention when He created woman. I'm reading now from Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, and we'll follow that up with Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 to 25. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in His own image. In the image of God He created him. Male and female He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And now Genesis chapter 2, beginning with verse 15, and reading through verse 25. Then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "Of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." And the Lord God said, "It is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper comparable to him." Out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air, and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. So Adam gave names to all cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. And Adam said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, to better understand God's plan for women as helpers, we observe and explore the differences God designed between men and women. The first difference between men and women is the physical, the most obvious. As we've observed in our previous study, God chose to create woman out of the side of man rather than out of the dust of the ground. And I believe God was indicating the type of relationship that He intended this to be. Man and woman were originally designed to walk side by side through life, accomplishing the plan and purpose for their creation. It's important for us to note that Eve was not created of material that was taken from Adam's arms or legs. Those are the main sources of his masculine strength. God intended woman to be more physically beautiful and more physically refined. So she was taken from Adam's side, close to his heart, close to the very seat of life itself. By choosing to create woman this way, I believe God showed us that she was the essence of Adam. She was equal in worth, but she was different in form and function. And the name woman reveals that she was taken out of the man. Recall, Adam noted this fact when he awoke from his divine surgery, as we called it. Woman was also designed to be a life-bearer. In her innermost parts, close to the part of Adam from which she was created, new life begins and develops. Adam wasn't capable of reproduction on his own. It's true he carried the seed, or the germ of life, but that's only part of the equation. Because the sperm not only needs an egg for fertilization to take place, but then it also needs a hospitable place to grow and develop. So God created the body of the woman to be that safe place. At this point, someone may be asking, are you implying that God designed all women to be mothers? And the answer to that question is twofold. It is yes, and it is no. It's quite obvious that God designed the body of a woman to bear children. And according to God's plan, marriage was and is normative. That's why God said it wasn't good for Adam to be alone. But then the entrance of sin into the human family disrupted God's perfect plan. Not all women are able to bear children, for a couple of reasons. First of all, maybe they're unmarried, and God has a plan for their singleness. Or maybe they are married, but God in His sovereignty chooses to close their womb. And there's one more option, they may intentionally refuse the blessing of children. But God's design of the woman's body declares the primacy of reproduction and motherhood. We'll talk about this more at a later time. I said earlier that God designed woman to be more physically beautiful and refined than man. In highlighting this difference in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, Peter instructs husbands to honor women as the weaker vessel. Now, think about it. Weaker is a comparative term that causes us to ask, weaker than what? Well, as a general rule, women's bodies aren't capable of the same strength as men because their bodies are designed differently. You can try to change those facts or ignore them. And that's led to a vigorous debate about women as combat soldiers in our armed forces. But notice too, Peter did not say husbands should honor women because they're weak. That wouldn't be an accurate statement. Typically, women are less muscular and physically weaker than men, but the godly women I know are certainly not weak. They just demonstrate their strength in different ways. Now, since God is the perfect designer, and He designed man and woman, He knew how to make woman so she would be attractive to man in every way. This was God's design, and it's such a beautiful thing. Scripture makes it absolutely clear that sexual relations are to be enjoyed only within the confines of the marriage relationship. That sexual expression is to be consensual. What I mean by that is the husband and wife come together by consent, not by demand or by force. I believe that's part of Peter's teaching, that men should live with their wives in an understanding way and treat all women with honor and with respect. Now, I will be the first to admit that in times past and even today, some men, including professing Christian men, have used their superior physical strength to dominate women. That is not God's intention. Rather, it's an effect of our sinful nature. The effect of sin has led many men today to view women's bodies as simply a plaything or an object of pleasure. And that is wrong. Because a woman's physical body is more delicate and beautiful, it is not something to be exploited, but instead it is something to be protected and cherished. And I would say woe to the Christian man who refuses to follow God's design and plan in protecting his wife. Now, before we move on to the other differences, I want to comment just briefly on the importance of self-acceptance. Women who accept the way God has created them and rejoice in His divine plan will experience much greater joy and fulfillment in life than those who resist God's design. This is true for acceptance of your overall design as a woman, and specifically the unchangeable features that God has given that make you uniquely you. I said earlier that God was and is the perfect creator. He doesn't make any mistakes. So I urge each of you women to ask God to use your physical body as the frame through which He can communicate His love to the world. For those who are married, that begins with your husband, extends to your children, then to your local church family, and then on out into your community. There's another difference between men and women, and that is the emotional difference. Part of being created in God's image is the ability to experience a whole range of emotions, and this is true for both men and women. But it's also an easily observed and well-known fact that women and men are created differently in our emotions. Generally speaking, women's emotions tend to lie closer to the surface, and they're more quickly displayed than men's emotions. This, too, I believe, is part of God's perfect design for balance and for the reflection of who He is. God commanded Adam and Eve to be fruitful and to subjugate the earth and the other living creatures. After sin entered the human family, Adam was tempted to exercise that dominion with harshness. Eve was designed to help provide a softer side, we might call it, to the process. Being more in touch with her feelings and the feelings of those around her, she could appeal to Adam to consider the kinder, gentler approach. In my experience as a father, my wife often helped me to be more considerate of the feelings of my children, and especially in times when there was discipline needed. As a man, I tend to approach issues or conflicts from a rational standpoint. I say, okay, here's the problem, and here's what we need to do to solve it. The sooner we get this taken care of, we can move on to something else. But my wife tends to approach issues more from the emotional standpoint. How will the person feel after this is all behind us? What can we do to protect his or her feelings even as we're working through the issue? Her insights help me to see that protecting the relationship is more important than having what I think is the right process. So she helps me achieve my goals for correction or solving the problem while protecting others from my unnecessary harshness. A woman's emotional makeup also gives expression to her spirituality. Some people would say that women are more spiritually sensitive than men. And that may be true, at least in some cases, but I suspect that our perception of this is largely because of their more emotional response to the teaching of God's Word. Now, I want you to be sure that you understand me. I don't see that emotional response as something negative, just something that we need to be aware of. Women's desire for spirituality is reflected in the numbers of those who attend Bible teaching seminars, and those who listen to Christian radio, and those who read books that develop their spirituality. You see, women in much greater numbers than men are active in each of those things that I just mentioned. They have a hunger for relationship, a hunger to know God, a hunger to find meaning and purpose in life and discover His plan for them. And they especially enjoy doing those things in the company of other women. We should thank God for this and encourage the women in our lives as they participate in these things. One of the challenges in this difference between men and women in their emotional makeup is the possibility of being more easily deceived. You may recall when Satan came to tempt our first parents, he didn't come to Adam, he came to Eve. And he appealed to her emotions, to her sense of fairness. Satan convinced Eve that God was withholding something from her that was, in her eyes, perfectly legitimate. And so what did she do? She followed her emotions, and she took Satan's bait. But I must also admit that Adam wasn't up to speed with his rationality and objectivity when Eve invited him to eat the fruit with her. Another effect of the fall is the desire to use emotions to control outcomes. Because we men aren't quick to display our emotions, we can often be intimidated by them. And sometimes men will do whatever is necessary, they're even willing to compromise the truth, to bring the emotions of a wife or a daughter under control. Now, I personally don't recall my wife using her emotions to manipulate the outcome of a situation, but I do know that sometimes my first indication that I've hurt her feelings or the feelings of someone else that she loves are the tears welling up in her eyes. Now, I can accuse her of being too sensitive, but you know, that's really not the issue. I am learning to appreciate how God uses her emotions to help me learn to genuinely care for other people. You see, as my helper, I need what she offers to me in the emotional difference. A woman's emotional makeup also makes her more aesthetic, more appreciative of beauty. Think about it, men. Just how much less colorful our lives would be without our women. And that's not to say that men can't or don't appreciate beauty, but women are the ones whose decorative touch can take the humblest setting and make it homier and more attractive. So when I think of all the ways I've been enriched by the women of influence in my life, I am deeply grateful to God. My mom saw beauty and order in a straight garden row. My dad's philosophy was, you get more seed in a crooked row. Can you see the difference? The utilitarian rationality, that's the most productive, versus the aesthetically pleasing symmetry of order. Think about this. A man enjoys a steak dinner. Why? Because of the food and the companionship that he shares. A woman's touch adds fresh flowers and candlelight. And so a wise man learns how to honor his wife and his daughters or other significant women in his life by complimenting them on their ability to bring color to even the most common or mundane events of life. Men, God has created women to be our helpers. And in order to fulfill that role, He created them differently than He created you and me. You already know that. Why then do we men say things like this? Why can't this woman be more like me? Then I could understand her better. But is that really what we want? I don't think so. God knows our needs. And so, if in the perfect environment of Eden, it wasn't good for Adam to be alone, then how much more critical is our need as men today in a world that's tainted by sin? The sin of our first parents, which has infected all of us, has certainly made our human relationships much more challenging to maintain and to grow. But God's original design was perfect, and He didn't change it as a result of sin. In the initial creation, man was created to be a leader, and woman was created to be a helper to the man. When each of them finds their place in God's plan, then there is joy and peace and harmony and blessing. And so to all of you women who are listening, thank you for fulfilling your God-given role as helpers. It is surely not an understatement to say, beside every truly successful man, there is a godly woman. Thank you, ladies. Truly, as we lift our eyes to our Heavenly Father, He will show us how to walk in His ways. Friend, I hope and pray you were encouraged by this study on women as helpers. If you know someone who would benefit from this teaching, You can get a printed transcript or an audio CD for them. Or you can just point them to our website, heraldsofhope.org, and then they can listen to the program whenever it's convenient for them. To request a copy of the program, either in print or on an audio CD, just send an email to hope@heraldsofhope.org. Or you may write to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you may call our office toll-free at 866-960-0292. To review today's program or to listen to previous programs, just log on to our website, heraldsofhope.org, where you can listen at your convenience. And if you want to connect with us on social media, just search for Heralds of Hope and follow us on our various social media platforms. And we invite you to help support this ministry financially by donating securely online at heraldsofhope.org or by calling our toll-free number, 866-960-0292. You can also mail your gift to The Voice of Hope, Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. We do depend on God's grace, accompanied by your fervent prayers and your generous financial support, to enable The Voice of Hope to be on the air until Jesus comes in the air. And don't forget, you can request an audio or printed copy of today's teaching, Women as Helpers. Now I invite you to join me next week for The Voice of Hope. Lord willing, we'll continue our study on biblical womanhood with a message titled, Women as Wives. So make plans to tune in. And until we meet again,
more.